Title of my sermon today is, Who is the greatest? Who is the greatest in the kingdom of God? Who is the greatest in the kingdom of God? We know greatness is something that is very important to man. We love greatness. We love to associate with great people. When you look at the politicians, they are ready to do anything, say anything to be empowered, to be great, to, you know, control other people and control a lot of things. A woman came to Jesus, if you turn to Matthew 18, and she was asking a favor from Jesus Christ. Matthew 18, 1 to 6. Matthew 18. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, let's see. Okay, I'm going to read. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? But before this question, a woman came to Jesus Christ, and she was asking Jesus Christ to let her two sons, one sit in his right hand and the other in his left hand in the kingdom of God. That was her request. These my two children, please grant that the older or the younger, one sits on the left hand and the other one sits on your right hand, so that they will rule with you in your kingdom. And Jesus Christ said to her, it's not up to me to say who will sit in my right hand or in my left hand. It's up to my Father. And this is what it means. This is what it would take to be great in the kingdom of God. The disciples put this question across to Jesus Christ. Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them and said, Verily I say unto you, except you be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoso shall receive one such little child in my name receives me. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believes in me, it were better for him that my son were hung about his neck and that he were drowned in the depths of the sea. So Jesus gave that answer and he said, the greatest in the kingdom of God is whosoever will embrace the childlike personality, whosoever will transform and become like a little child will be the greatest in the kingdom of God. We don't go to God and ask him for a favor. Oh, let me sit in your right hand or in your left hand. That's not how to be great in the kingdom of God. That's not how to enter the kingdom of God. Jesus Christ said, if we will be converted and become like little children. He's simply saying, if you will become like me, because we know that Jesus Christ is going to be the king in the kingdom of God. But we must become like Jesus Christ. We must become like little children. Just as Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, when he was here, was like little children. His personality, loving, forgiving, trusting, looking up to God for everything. This is what it means to be great in the kingdom of God. And this is how to become great in the kingdom of God. If you turn to Isaiah 11, there's a prophecy about the kingdom of God in Isaiah 11. And he made mention of a child. Isaiah 11:6. It said, The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and the little child shall lead them. So Jesus Christ said, Whosoever we converted and become like a little child, will be the greatest in the kingdom of God. And in this prophecy says, a little child will lead them in the kingdom of God. A little child will lead. There will be peace in the kingdom of God, but the kingdom of God we need leadership, but the little child will lead. Who is that little child that will lead in the kingdom of God? First of all, the little child that will lead in the kingdom of God is Jesus Christ. First of all, it's Jesus Christ. And any other person that will be converted today to become like a little child as well will be great, will lead with Jesus Christ in the kingdom of God. If you turn to Isaiah 9 is a prophecy about Jesus Christ, about the birth of Jesus Christ. And look at how Isaiah 9 referred to Jesus Christ and as a child as well. Isaiah 9, verse 6. Isaiah 9, 6 says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Unto us a child is given. Jesus Christ was given to us as a child. As a child, in the sense that a newborn child, and also his personality will be the personality of a child. Loving, forgiving, trusting, ready to learn and to grow. Isaiah 11 said, he will be of quick understanding of the ways of God. Quick understanding. So he will be teachable. He will allow God to teach him. That was what Isaiah said. And the Bible says, unto us a child is given. This is the child that will lead in the kingdom of God according to Isaiah 11 verse 3. A little child shall lead. That child is Jesus Christ. And any other person, any of us, if we will be able to be converted and become like little children, if we will be able to remove the idols in our heart, the idols in our homes, like Pablo was talking about today in his sermonette, Jesus Christ said, everything that is not planted of my heavenly Father must be uprooted. Before we enter the kingdom of God, we must remove all these idols, all these things that distract us from serving God, things that we put first before God. We must be willing to remove all these things and be converted and become like little children. One thing that we can learn about little children is that they are humble. Even when you see them and it feels that they are stubborn and uncontrollable and so on, they are very humble. Pablo was talking about how little children learn from their parents and so on. Before you can learn, you have to be humble. It takes humility to learn. Little children are humble. And look what the Bible tells us in Philippians 2:5 about humility and what God expects from us as his people. Philippians 2:5. And it says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in a fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Let this mind be in you. Learn from me, Jesus Christ said. It's all about Jesus Christ. It's all about becoming like Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is our role model. We look up to him in everything. We learn from him as, the way we look up to our parents, we look up to him. This is one of the things that we must see in us. Anytime we don't see humility in us, it means that we are going up the track. We are going up the track. God wants us to be humble. Humble from the heart. not pretending to be humble. God wants us to be humble, real humility. That is seen wherever we find ourselves. If you turn to Micah 6:8. Micah 6:8. He has shown thee, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly before your God. To walk humbly before your God. To do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly before your God. God hates the proud. Somewhere in the book of Proverbs, it says, "Sisters, the Lord hates. A proud look is one of them." We must humble ourselves before God, before our Maker. And if you turn to Proverbs 15:33. And it says, the fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. God will honor us with eternal life. God will honor us with the crown of life in his kingdom. But before that honor, before that crown, before we wear that crown, the Bible says, before honor is humility. We must be humble before God and before man. And that's the question that we need to ask ourselves today and every day. Are we humble? Are we truly humble? I know during Passover, close to the time of Passover, we do a lot. We try a lot to be humble. And during Atonement, we fast to be humble. But God wants us to be humble every day by day. Jesus Christ said, "You are the light of the world. You are the light of the world." Pride has no place in us. And if people call us proud, we should be able to go back to our homes or wherever we live and think about it and look inwardly and see if what they are saying is true. Sometimes people call us what we are not. But when we hear things like that, we need to go back and review and make sure we get rid of pride. Another quality of children is they look up to their parents for everything. When they are hungry, they go to their parents. When they want to go to the bathroom, they go to their parents. Everything, they look up to their parents in everything. That's how God wants us to look up to him. Do we look up to God? Do we trust God? Do we pray? Do we go to God with our problems? Or do we try other things before we bring in God? Children go to their parents, and that is exactly what God wants us to do as well. If you turn to Proverbs 3. I know sometimes we feel that we know it. And sometimes it's true that we know it. But the Bible wants us to come before God always. Proverbs 3:5 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil." Trust in the Lord with all your heart. If we must be in the kingdom of God, we must believe that God has the solution to all the world's problems. And he does. And we should go to God at all times. And we must trust God at all times. Sometimes it feels that trusting God does not bring solution to our problems. But God answers our prayers in different ways. In different ways. Sometimes not the way we want it or expect it. But God is God, and He does what pleases Him. He tells us, He gives us an answer when He wants to, and He knows the best for us. But trusting God and believing in God and looking up to God is something that we must do if we must be converted and become like little children. Little children are teachable as well. Like I said initially, they are teachable. The Bible tells us that greatness comes from humility, not pride. And when you look at it closely, that is where greatness comes from. Before you become a doctor or a lawyer or whatsoever profession you are into, you must be able to sit down and learn from someone. Someone must teach you how to do it. You learn and grow before you become great, before you become a professional. If you are proud and you don't want to learn from anybody, if you want to be a self-made man, things will be very difficult for you. Little children are teachable and they learn very fast. And this is one of the qualities of Jesus Christ. When Jesus Christ was here, Jesus Christ learned God's way very fast. It was very quick that the Pharisees were so astonished at his wisdom when he spoke in the synagogue. How did he learn these things? This is just the son of Mary and Joseph who taught him. Isaiah 11 said he will learn very quickly. If you turn to Isaiah 11, go back to Isaiah 11. From verse 2. And the Spirit of the Lord, Isaiah 11:2, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord, and shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. And he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. So God's Spirit made him of quick understanding of God's ways. And we have the Spirit of God. We have the Spirit of God. But we must allow the Spirit of God to increase in us, the kingdom of God to increase in us. And we see that through humility. We see that through humility and being teachable. And if you turn to the book of Psalms 86:11, Psalms 86:11 say, teach me thy ways, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear your name. So teaching and learning is very important as God's children. Teaching and learning, being teachable and being able to learn is what makes us a child before God. But if we choose to go the other way, if you turn to Isaiah 14, one of the sons of God decided to be greater than God, decided to remove God from his throne and take the place of God because of pride. Isaiah 14, so this is how to fail. Isaiah 14:12. Say, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For thou hast said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the side of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the cloud. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the side of the pit. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that did shake kingdoms? How art thou fallen O Lucifer, son of the morning. I, anytime we begin to say I am this, I am the best, I am this, I am all that, we must be very careful. This is not how to become great in the kingdom of God. The Bible says anyone that, you know, lifts himself up, that God will bring the person down. So God is ready to bring anyone that is puffed up, that's full of pride. God has put forces in place to bring such heart down. So the way to the kingdom of God is the way of humility and submission to the way of God. If you turn to Daniel, the book of Daniel 4:27. Daniel 4. Daniel was speaking to the king. He was telling the king, King Nebuchadnezzar, what will befall the king because of his pride. Wherefore, O king, Daniel 4:27, wherefore, O king, let my counsel be accepted unto thee, and break off thy sins by righteousness, and thy iniquities by showing mercy to the poor, if it may be a lengthening of thy tranquility. All these came upon the king, Nebuchadnezzar. At the end of 12 months, he walked in the palace of his kingdom of Babylon. The king spoke and said, is it not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty? While the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed of thee, and they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beast of the field. They shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and seven times shall pass over thee until thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomsoever he will. So he was so proud of himself. All these things I've achieved. I've built this kingdom. I am a great man. I made all this. And God humbled him. God humbled him, and he was driven away from men, and he went into the forest, and he lived with the beasts of the field till seven times passed over him. And when he came back to his senses, he confessed, he was humbled, and he said that God is God and there is no one except him. So this is what happens when we are filled with pride. And this is how not to become great in the kingdom of God. If you turn to Proverbs 18:12. Proverbs 18:12. Say, before destruction the heart of man is haughty, and before honor is humility. And Proverbs 11:2 says, pride comes before fall. The answer that Jesus Christ gave his disciples: whosoever is converted and become like little children will be the greatest in the kingdom of God. God wants us to be converted and become like little children. God wants us to be humble. God wants us to be teachable. God wants us to look up to him. The Bible says, woe to him that go to Egypt for help. Woe to him that go to Egypt for help. And woe to them that trust in horses and chariots. God wants us to look up to him. And that's how to become like little children, what it means to become like Jesus Christ, what it means to become like little children. Little children are forgiving as well. They forgive very easily. If you spank a child for any reason, in a few minutes, the child has forgiven you and is ready to walk with you again. And this is also very important. God wants us to forgive one another. God wants us to forgive anyone that wronged us. Pablo read somewhere today, was it Pablo? No, the song, one of the songs said, blessed is him that his sins are forgiven, whose sins are covered. It's a blessing when we forgive people their sins. It's a blessing to us and the people that we are, you know, forgiving. If you turn to Matthew 6:14, Jesus Christ was giving a sermon, and this was what he said about forgiveness. And this still applies to us today. Because every day we go back to God and we ask God for forgiveness. We ask God to forgive us our sins. Jesus Christ said, we must do this before God will forgive us. Matthew 6:14. Jesus Christ said, if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. So if we are going to God to ask for forgiveness, and we have a lot of someone that we have sworn not to forgive, so I will not forgive you, there's no need going to God for forgiveness. It's a waste of time. That's what the Bible says. That's what Jesus Christ is saying. If we forgive others their trespasses, our heavenly Father will forgive us. And Jesus Christ also said that if we are bringing our gift to the altar before God, and we remember that we have something against our brother, that we should leave our gift at the altar and go back and reconcile with our brother first of all, before we come back, and then come back and give our gift. So forgiveness is very important. And this is what Jesus Christ represents. Jesus Christ represents forgiveness. Jesus Christ did not commit any sin. There was no sin was found in him. We all have sinned. Against who? Against him. Against Jesus Christ. But yet he came and he died for our sins. If we are the followers of Jesus Christ, we should be forgiven. We should have the mind to forgive and to let go and to move on and continue to walk with Jesus Christ and continue to look up to him. If you turn to Isaiah, Isaiah 53 tells us about Jesus Christ and how forgiving Jesus Christ is. Isaiah 53:2. Isaiah 53:2. For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of the dry ground. He had no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief, and we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he had borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Jesus Christ died for our sins to buy that forgiveness for us. He gave his own life, shed his own blood for our own sin. Do we have a greater reason, any reason not to forgive? Do we have any reason not to forgive someone that have wronged us? How bad will it be? Jesus Christ forgave everybody, both murderers, no matter the type of sin that we have committed. Say, come unto me, and I will give you rest. If we want God to forgive us, we must learn to forgive one another. We must learn to forgive others. And not just hearing this, we need to start applying this in our everyday life. This is how we grow spiritually. We grow spiritually when we apply all these things in our daily lives, when we practicalize it, when the opportunity comes. Sometimes when people wrong us and cause us to be angry, it's like a test. It's an opportunity for us to prove, to demonstrate that we are God's people if we forgive. That's an opportunity to grow spiritually. And most times we turn those opportunities down. anytime we have such opportunity, we must use it and take advantage of it to show God that we love him and that we are ready to continue walking with him because we are willing to forgive, just as Jesus Christ did. This is how we can show God that we have become converted and we have become as little children and we are ready to inherit God's kingdom. Because if we are praying thy kingdom come and we are not ready for that kingdom, I don't know why we should be praying for thy kingdom come. We must be ready for the kingdom and then pray for the kingdom of God to come because we are sure, we have it in our mind that we are ready for God's kingdom to come. But praying for God's kingdom to come and we are not ready and we still have the world inside of us. The world is, we are filled with the world. Why do we go in and pray for God's kingdom to come? We must be prepared and ready to receive the kingdom. And then we go and pray that kingdom come. This is my own suggestion. If you turn to 1 Corinthians 13, this is also an attribute of little children. They are loving. They are so loving. Jesus Christ said, a new commandment I have given to you, that you love one another as I have loved you. The other commandment said, love your neighbor as yourself. But this Jesus Christ, you know, increased the expectation. He said, as I have loved you. And we all know how, what it means when we say that Jesus Christ loves us. It means everything. It means giving everything, giving in everything. And Jesus Christ said, love you one another with this quality of love. If you turn to 1 Corinthians 13, the charity chapter. So he puts love at the center of everything. Say, though I speak with tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I become as sounding brass or as a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountain and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profits me nothing. Charity suffers long, is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh not evil. So when we sit down and we see ourselves, we see ourselves going through all this. Say charity suffers long. When we see ourselves, we are not long suffering. We get angry very quickly. We react very quickly. It's a sign that we need to do more. It's a sign that we need to do more. It's kind. And when we see envy inside of us, no matter how little or how big, it's a sign that we need to do more. We need to pray more. We need to read our Bible more. We need to walk with God more to get rid of it. And when we see pride, when we begin to say, I, it's a time to sit back and look inwardly and see what has gone wrong with us. Rejoice not in iniquity. When we begin to support people, even when they are wrong, it's not a symptom of godliness. We need to sit back as well and know and walk more, think more, read more, study more and pray more, because it does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoice in the truth. Charity never fails, but whether there be prophecies, they will fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in parts, and we prophesy in parts, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. 12. For now I see through a glass and darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in parts, but then shall I know even as also am known. And now abides faith, hope, charity. These three things, but the greatest of these is charity. If you go to a funeral and you see a dead person, man or woman, lying in state, you see what the Bible says shall pass away. The tongue will cease, knowledge will cease, we'll be free from sin, we'll be free from trouble. But the Bible says something in the book of Romans. It says, who shall separate us from the love of God? Who shall separate us from the love of God? Neither life nor death, things present, things to come, nakedness, peril. Say, nothing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, even death. But every other thing shall cease at death. But if we have that love at the center of our life, this is what God wants in his kingdom. And this is how to be great in the kingdom of God. This is one of the qualities of little children that Jesus Christ wants us to have inside of us every day by day. Love. Loving. Loving our neighbors. Loving the brethren. Genuine love. Genuine love. Not pretending to love. Genuine love. This is what God wants from us. And this is the greatest. And the Bible says God is love. So if we have that love in us, we are like at one with God and with Jesus Christ. If you turn to Matthew 5:8. Everything that we've said about little children is all about the heart. It's all about working on our hearts, removing the word from our heart, and allowing Jesus Christ to grow, allowing God to cleanse us from worldliness and to clothe us with righteousness. And this is what the Bible says in Matthew 5:8. It says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the pure in heart, a heart without envy, a heart with no hate, a heart that forgives, a heart that loves, a heart that is humble, a heart that is teachable, a heart that trusts in God and look up to God. The Bible said that heart is blessed because it will see God. Do you want to see God? I want to see God. I want to see Jesus Christ. I want to be in the kingdom of God. Jesus Christ said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. So, brethren, who is the greatest in the kingdom of God? Who is the greatest in the kingdom of God? The greatest in the kingdom of God is Jesus Christ, and whosoever will humble himself to become like Jesus Christ. Isaiah 9 says, unto us a child is given. If we receive that child, Jesus Christ, and be converted and become like that child, Jesus Christ, we will be great in the kingdom of God with Jesus Christ. So with this message today, brethren, I want to encourage us. I want to encourage us to continue to remove worldliness from our hearts. Continue to remove the idols that distract us from our hearts. And continue to put in us and allow, like John the Baptist said, that he must increase and we must decrease. And allow Jesus Christ to increase and increase and increase till God's kingdom comes and we rule with Jesus Christ, his kingdom, as priests and princes in his kingdom. And this is how to do it, if we are converted and we become like little children.